Morning, we'll be reading from Canto 3, Chapter 4, Texts 30 and 31. Just for review, the last few verses, there are some questions by Maharaj Parikshit. Shukadeva Goswami, Maharaj Parikshit wanted to know when Krishna left and took with him the entire Rishni and Bhoja dynasty membership, why did he leave Uddhava? Then in text 29, Shukadeva Goswami replied, "My dear king, the cursing of the Brahmanas was only a plea, pretense. But the actual fact was the supreme desire of the Lord. He wanted to disappear from the face of the earth after dispatching his excessively numerous family members. He thought to himself as follows." We discussed the form of the Lord that he left behind, although his form is all spiritual. He left the material form or the Virat Rup form. We discussed all that. So here's now what the Lord thought before he left. "Now I shall leave the vision of this mundane world. And I see that Uddhava, the foremost of my devotees, is the only one who can be directly entrusted with knowledge about me. Prabhupada explains that from Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, "Only by devotion and service can I be understood. Bhaktyamam abhijanati yavanyas chasmi tatvataha." So that's out of all the knowledgeable persons, there is the jnanis and the yogis and the bhaktas, and the most knowledgeable are the bhaktas. And amongst the bhaktas, Uddhava was considered best amongst all the devotees at that time. And therefore he was directly instructed by the Lord's grace so that people might take advantage of Uddhava's knowledge after the disappearance of the Lord from the vision of the world. So that's, the Lord had some service for him. Prabhupada broadens the statement in the verse, where the verse says, Uddhava is the only one who can be directly entrusted with knowledge of me. He broadens that to say, only devotees, and then Uddhava is the best amongst the devotees, so he's the best one. But so, broadening that statement is, devotees only can give knowledge about Krishna. And since he was the best, before Krishna's departure, it was his plan and he did it. He instructed Uddhava. This is one of the reasons why Uddhava was advised to go to Badrikashram, where the Lord is personally represented by Narayan deity. The end of this purport is very why Prabhupada goes directly from the description of Uddhava's qualification to going to Badrikashram to deity, and then he goes into the relevance of deity worship. One who is transcendentally advanced can gain direct inspiration from the temple deity, and thus a devotee of the Lord can always take shelter of a recognized temple of the Lord in order to make tangible advancement in spiritual and transcendental knowledge by the grace of the Lord. It almost sounds like, okay, I'm going to instruct you over here, and you go to the deity in Badrikashram, and the deity will instruct you the rest. Something sounds like that. But not exactly, because it's one who is transcendentally advanced can gain direct inspiration from the temple deity. And thus a devotee of the Lord always takes shelter of a recognized temple of the Lord in order to make tangible advancement in transcendental knowledge by the grace of the Lord. So it looks like we have to be inspired in order to make tangible advancement in transcendental knowledge, inspired by Krishna. In many places, deity worship is spoken of as essential for those who are in the Kanishta stage or the Prakrita Bhakta stage, meaning there's a very strong bodily conception. So to apply the bodily conception and elevate it to the platform of transcendence, deity worship is recommended, and it regulates one's life. And there's direct contact and service with the Lord through his deity form that one can perceive tangibly. However, Uddhava wasn't a Prakrita Bhakta or Kanishta Adhikari. He was in this transcendentally advanced stage. We're going to hear in the next verse how advanced. So connection seems to be something like this. There was some service, and there was that service was specifically Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes the devotees, the Vaishnavas, the devotees of the Lord who were in Badrikashram. They desired to hear directly from the mouth of Krishna about transcendental life, transcendental teaching. Krishna wasn't going to do that. He was going to leave. So he gave that service to Uddhava to do because he was qualified. And then so Prabhupada says, this is one of the reasons why Uddhava was advised to go to Badrikashram. But then deity worship for a transcendentally advanced devotee is yet another reason, because literally there's temples all over the place. You don't have to go to Badrikashram to go to see a deity and serve a deity. But a second reason was, in addition to that particular location, because of those ardent devotees of the Lord there, he wanted to reciprocate with them. So Uddhava went instead. But for Uddhava's sake, so that further edification, further awakening of transcendental knowledge, further advancement, tangible advancement in transcendental knowledge, go there. There's devotees you can instruct, there's a deity you can worship, and by transcendental inspiration from the deity, your transcendental knowledge will further awaken. And one could argue, one could argue that Uddhava is so advanced, what does he need to go to a place where there's a deity? Just using the reverse argument, Prabhupada would say, if God is everywhere, why is he not in the temple? But the argument the other way is, if he's in the temple, then he's everywhere. And one who's very advanced doesn't need the deity form. And because he's everywhere and they can feel his presence everywhere, detect his presence everywhere. And then you go back the other side. Well, okay, if he's everywhere, then he's in the temple. And temple worship is not, in other words, is not just for the neophyte. Our very advanced acharyas, both to set example, but also it's just a reciprocation of their love for the Lord. They established deity worship. And Krishna reciprocated with their devotion by manifesting himself as a deity for them to worship. And there's many ways in which Krishna in his deity form accepted the worship, arranged for the great Vaishnavas to worship them, to worship him. And in that very advanced worship, there's a direct inspiration that comes. And that direct inspiration that comes assists in furthering transcendental advancement, tangible transcendental advancement in spiritual knowledge. So it appears that's an additional reason for Uddhava to go there. Then in the next verse, Shukadeva Goswami really praises Uddhava, or the Lord praises Uddhava. Uddhava is not inferior to me in any way because he is never affected by the modes of material nature. Therefore, he may remain in this world in order to disseminate specific knowledge of the personality of Godhead. Now, this language of disseminate specific knowledge, it appears several times in the previous purport and in this purport. So it's specific knowledge indicates knowledge of the personality of Godhead, as opposed to Brahman and Paramatma feature. Because in a broad sense, when people speak of God, that can be included as knowledge of God, the existence of the Supreme Brahman. So it's the terms, Sanskrit terms, are Bhagavat Tattva Vijnana, used in the purport, or in the previous verse, text 30 is Madashraya Jnanam, Madashrayam, knowledge, Madashrayam, concerning myself. That's first person singular. Knowledge concerning myself, Bhagavat Tattva Vijnanam. Or in this verse it's Mat Vayunam, knowledge of me. So the English translation that Prabhupada is using consistently here is specific knowledge of the personality of Godhead. Therefore, Uddhava may remain in this world in order to disseminate specific knowledge of the personality of Godhead. So then the purport, the specific qualification for becoming the representative of the Lord is to be unaffected by the modes of material nature. The Prabhupada goes on to explain that the mode of goodness is still within the modes of material nature. So one who is unaffected by the modes of material nature is beyond the position of a brahmana, because the brahmana is in the quality of goodness and the mode of goodness is still within material nature. So that is he's a Vaishnava, but not just a Vaishnava in name or dress, he's a Vaishnava in quality. And that quality is Vishuddha Sattva, or Vasudeva Sattva. He's in the stage of transcendence. As the Lord is not affected by the modes of nature, so a pure devotee is also not affected by the modes of nature. That is the primary qualification for being one with the Lord. So, by becoming attached to Krishna, who is beyond the modes of nature, one goes beyond the modes of nature. And Uddhava had that qualification, which the Lord recognized, and therefore he's saying, Uddhava is not inferior to me. One of the names or terms that applies to Krishna is asamurdva. Sama means equal, and urdva means greater, and asama and aurdva is there's no one equal, there's no one greater. So here the Lord is saying Uddhava is equal to me. How's that? So he's not equal in as an entity, but because of Uddhava's intimate relationship with Krishna, therefore Prabhupada writes, that is the primary qualification for being one with the Lord. Being one with the Lord doesn't mean merging. Being one with the Lord means of a quality like the Lord. That's what it means. Well, it still retains sama. He's not equal in the sense that he's the source of everything and everything comes from him. That's not Uddhava. But as far as the modes of nature are concerned, his quality is the same as the Lord. A common term, Prabhupada points out, a common term for that standard or status is Jivan Mukta, liberated soul. And that liberated soul can be liberated even being involved in the world, or you know, apparently worldliness. The standard is beyond the modes of nature, although in the world not conditioned by. The modes of nature are still moving and acting, but not conditioned by those modes of nature. And how is that attained? Constant devotional service. Prabhupada quotes the verse from Rupa Goswami's Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Iha yasya harer dasye karmana manasa gira nikilasya pivastasu jivan mukta sa uchite. And the translation, quote, anyone who, by his actions, karmana, his mind, manasa, his words, gira, anyone who, by those three, lives only for the transcendental living service of the Lord is certainly a liberated soul, even though he may appear to be in a condition of material existence. Iha yasya harer dasye karmana manasa gira nikhilapyasi vastasu. So this is Uddhava's qualification. Uddhava was in such a transcendental position, and thus he was selected to be the factual representative of the Lord in his bodily absence from the vision of the world. Such a devotee, the Lord is never affected by material strength, intelligence, or even renunciation. So these are, what are those? Strength, intelligence, renunciation. These are three of the features of Bhagavan. There's six, three of the opulences of Bhagavan. Prabhupada is writing, a devotee is never affected by those things, material strength, intelligence, renunciation. And he says it slightly differently. Such a devotee of the Lord can withstand all onslaughts of material nature. This has to do with, it's being presented because the statement has been made by the Lord, Uddhava is equal to me in all respects. So if Krishna is Bhagavan, what about Uddhava? Is Uddhava Bhagavan? He is Bhagavan in the sense that these opulences don't affect him, as the modes don't affect him. And because he has that quality, like the quality of the Lord, the extremes of material, of duality, also don't affect him. Here's how Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur addresses it. This verse describes Uddhava's qualification as a replica of the Lord. Uddhava is not all, and he's not at all less than me. Anu. Living, the Lord is Vibhu and the living entity is Anu. So although he's Anu, he's not at all less than me because he is not disturbed by the gunas, like Sattva. So here's a doubt, a Purva Paksha. There are many Jivan Muktas in this world who are undisturbed by the gunas. Are they not also equal to the Lord? Answer, that is true. Therefore, the following is the real meaning, which is, Uddhava is not at all pained by the spiritual qualities. In Prabhupada's purport, it was the material strength, intelligence, or even renunciation. Here it's, he is not at all pained by spiritual qualities of strength, intelligence, knowledge, and renunciation. This means that he has the ability to control their effects. This is similar to saying that a person has control over the impulse of lust or is not pained by lust. So what does that mean? The metaphor is, so a living entity may have lust, a very elevated living entity because of just being embodied. There may be lust, but he has control over that lust or is not pained by it. So using that phrase, not pained by it, he's explaining, Uddhava has opulences. But he has control over those opulences. He's not controlled by them. He's not enamored by them. And bewildered by them. For example, it has already been said that Uddhava was chief amongst the best of the group of warriors among all the Yadus. Never is there seen such strength as his. So we don't, at least I don't normally think of Uddhava as being like, Bhima and Arjuna. I think of them as great warriors. Well, somehow, Uddhava, who's, at least my conception of Uddhava is like Krishna's advisor, like a brilliant statesman, but not like necessarily a great warrior. Similarly, he has other qualities, like intelligence, which are extraordinary. He is therefore addressed as Prabhu, because, like the Lord, he has control over Maya. Or, he's not controlled by Maya. He's not pained by Maya. It's not, he's Bhagavan, but because of his intimacy with Bhagavan. In that intimacy, he's also possessed of many opulences. And like the Lord, he's not bewildered by those opulences. He has them under his control, because his control is he just serves Krishna. And therefore he has the power that he needs in order to do whatever service the Lord gives him, by that intimate spiritual connection with the Lord. It's a subtle point, but it's a nice glorification of Uddhava in particular, or the position of an advanced or elevated Vaishnava. They possess opulences, something like the point we were making yesterday in Giranagari, opulences that are just beyond our own capacity otherwise. And what's that all about? It's some connection with Krishna, and that Krishna helps the devotee beyond their capacity. One example that comes to mind is a description that Guru Das told. And it was right after the deity installation in London, because Guru Das served in London for some time, and he was visiting in the USA. So he described this. I forget which of the deities in London, because there's deities that were in Bury Place and there's deities that were at the manor. But they were arranging for the deity installation. Prabhupada was there, and he was instructing them how to put up the canopy above them. The canopy was heavy stone. So like, you know, an altar. A big slab of heavy stone. So two big, strong American young men, you know, in their mid-20s, they were trying to hold up this thing so they could put the upright pieces and protect the deity, cover the deity. And it slipped. And Prabhupada's physical stature was much less, his age was much greater, and Prabhupada stood and held it up. Where the two men were having trouble, Prabhupada held it up, and then while he's holding it up, he was instructing them where to put the pillars so the deities would be not crushed by this big stone slab. And you know, they were amazed. His physical strength is not his own, because of his pure devotion. It's whatever you want to call it. It's supernatural, or it's mystical, or it's a direct empowerment. But in these example, Uddhava, this example I just spoke of Prabhupada, they're not enamored by or controlled by, oh, look at how strong I am, look at how intelligent I am. Because that contact with egoism is gone. And so whatever is manifest, it's from Krishna. And even, you know, so the extraordinary as well as the ordinary, in both categories, it's from Krishna. So not controlled by that. Not enamored by that. As now extend that to Krishna, whatever Krishna has, it's everything. But in Krishna there's no egoism. Egotism, like we know egotism. It's just he's exhibiting his transcendental potency. So, as for example, Krishna's wanting to instruct Uddhava, so Uddhava comes and finds him in the middle of a forest. He would try to look for somebody in a forest. What to speak of? You don't even know what forest. But because Krishna desired that Uddhava found him, and Krishna instructed him, and then Krishna told him to go to Badrika Ashram and what to do when he went there. And so his emotional state, we've been hearing, he hardly has control of his emotions, but he has a service. And so that's carrying on, is allowing him to carry on with his life. Although his feelings of separation are so intense. I'll repeat something that was mentioned before. Obviously, here is Shukadeva Goswami who's describing to Maharaj Parikshit the inner thoughts of Krishna at this very delicate moment. So how advances Shukadeva Goswami? I'm saying that specifically to clarify this thought revealed by Shukadeva, where he says, now I shall leave the vision of the mundane world, and I see that Uddhava, the foremost of my devotees, is the only one who can be directly entrusted with knowledge about me. Obviously, Shukadeva Goswami is in the same category. So, the only one who can be directly entrusted with knowledge about me needs to be broadened. And you know how we understand that. He's the best amongst Vaishnavas, and it's Vaishnavas who have knowledge of him because of their devotion, proper knowledge of him. Okay. Any comments or questions?
Thank you for explaining those qualities. Does it mean that a quality remains spiritual as long as we use it in Krishna's service?
It's as long as we're Krishna conscious. In other words, I'm adding the dimension that what's the consciousness behind the act? So let's say I'm a musician and I like playing music. Oh, as long as I use it in Krishna's service. There's no material and spiritual has to do with how we see things, if it's seeing in relation to Krishna or not. That in that sense. Yes?
Can I understand that to the extent one is free from pride, like to that extent?
We can say positively, to the extent that one is Krishna conscious. Either way. Free from the influence of matter, or Krishna conscious. Okay? Yes?
Guru Maharaj,
mentioning about deity worship being performed in the initial stages, and we see like great acharyas also performing deity worship, but it was not like a direct deity worship. They were actually like having personal interaction with the Supreme Lord. So how to understand that, and what can I take from that?
Well, when we're in the sadhana stage, we're also in direct contact. Our realization may not be like that, and their realization is that. So we're doing practice, sadhana, following the vittis, so that the coverings can be gradually removed so we can recognize we're in contact. It's just like chanting. We're chanting because it's prescribed for us to chant. And the same chanting on the from a pure devotee, they're directly associating with Krishna. Okay. Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.